That one will wake you up, won't it? Yeah. You know, we're continuing our series, The Mix. And we're talking about, as followers of Jesus Christ, getting the mix right. You know, we talked about the importance of living out the golden rule, you know, treating other people like we'd like to be treated. And we talked about the power of love last week. And we talked about what love does and what love doesn't. And I believe if every Christ follower got the mix right that we're going to be talking about, it would impact our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplace. It actually would transform our communities in our country, in the world. And today, we're adding to the mix a little thing called acceptance. And acceptance is one of the ways we show love to other people. You know, Romans 15 contains some of the most challenging verses in Scripture. You know, Paul, he originally wrote these words to Christians that were living in Rome. They were fighting with each other. There was division, and they're taking sides, and they're being critical of each other to the point that they started attacking each other's character. And for several chapters, Paul is passionately pleading with them. He's asking them to make use of their gifts and trying to persuade them to think a little bit different. And Paul's doing the very best he can to convince these Roman Christians to be loving of one another, accepting of one another in spite of their differences. And finally, it just, I think in exasperation, he writes these words. He says, "May the patience and encouragement that comes from God allow you to live in harmony with each other the way Christ Jesus wants. Then you will all be joined together and you will give glory to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ accepted you, so you should accept each other, which will bring glory to God." Set stuff aside. Focus on glorifying God by accepting one another, just like Christ accepted you. That word accept, it comes from the Greek word proslama. And it's really, another way it's translated is welcome other people, to be very welcoming, welcome one another. It carries the idea of, you know, pulling people toward you, to take people alongside of you. And I want you to think about who cares enough to pull you alongside. To who is it that pulls you in and it just kind of takes care of you, you know, pulls you in alongside of them. And I bet you immediately you're thinking of people, you know, that had that kind of effect on your life, maybe a grandparent or a parent or a neighbor, teacher, whatever. When they saw you, they just instinctively throw their arms around you and they pull you in. And that's a great feeling. In fact, I'll bet that for some of you, you value that because guess what? It makes you feel valued. It makes you feel celebrated, loved, and important. And friends, that kind of acceptance, it's more than a feeling. The acceptance really, it's gives you that kind of courage when you experience it. That we've got to be committed to that in our lives. Acceptance is not some abstract concept. You know, acceptance, it's easy to talk about, but it's difficult to do, isn't it? You know, sometimes we give mixed communications, don't we? We say one thing, we go, "Oh, acceptance is very important," but we do something totally different. You know, being accepting requires more than just words. It requires action on our part. You know, Jesus said this, he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me or accepted me. You know, Jesus and the disciples, one day that Jesus had been teaching, they were exhausted, they needed some rest, some time to themselves, kind of get away, but the crowd just kept following them. And so it's interesting how Jesus responds, and he's always like this. He says, in verse 11, he says, Jesus graciously welcomed them, accepted them, and talked to them about the kingdom of God. Those who needed healing, he saw the need and he healed. Or consider this. This is a mind-blowing one for me. Always has been. It says, don't neglect the showing hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Wow. That's just mind-blowing, isn't it? It is so important to God that God kind of sends decoys, let's say, you know, angels in disguise to see who's accepting and who's not. And it makes me wonder, why is acceptance so important to God? And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at a few reasons that I believe. First of all, God knows how greatly needed acceptance is. It is a basic human need in life. You know, when you look at Jesus' life, you see it throughout Scripture. He was always welcoming people. He was always accepting people. You know, he accepted the outcasts and the disenfranchised. He accepted the educated and the powerful, the young and the old, the sick, the sinners. I mean, he accepted a dishonest tax collector that was a thief at the time. He accepted the woman that got caught in adultery, the outcasts in society, the Samaritan woman that people just avoided. Jesus was so accepting and welcoming, he drove the religious leaders crazy in that day. You know, it said, now the tax collector and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees, they're the religious leaders, and the teachers of the law muttered. You know it's a problem when you see the word muttered. This man welcomes sinners and even eats with them. Huh. Yeah. Jesus had a keen sense of who needed to be pulled in, who needed a healing touch, who needed to hear a loving and encouraging word. And friends, it was not usually the list that the religious leaders had. You know, the religious leaders thought other people should be accepted, but not these people. See, Jesus knew that throughout history, every culture, there would be insiders and outsiders. You know, haves and have-nots. And as followers of Jesus Christ, I want to be very clear, we have a responsibility to the people who cross our path, whoever they are. In fact, it's a mandate from God, a God-given responsibility to be accepting. It's how we're to conduct ourselves, loving, welcoming, accepting absolutely everyone who crosses our path. But, I'm just reading your minds. No buts. Everyone, always. I mean, why is being accepting so important to God? Friends, because many people desperately need acceptance. I mean, maybe God also knew that people who are different especially need to be welcomed. You know, the passage in Romans, you know, Paul's speaking to Christ followers who had a lot of ideological and theological differences. What? I mean, can you imagine? They're fighting. They're fighting about how to do church. They're having conflicts about the interpretation of Scripture. They're even arguing about what to eat and what not to eat. You know, their opinions all of a sudden are becoming very sacred. And if someone didn't believe exactly like they believed, well, they pushed them out. Unwelcome. God does not call us, listen very carefully, God does not call us to accept one another's beliefs. But God does call us to accept one another. See the difference there? I was raised in the Baptist church as a young kid. I was in the Independent Christian Church through my teen years. When I studied for ministry, I got my Bachelor of Arts from St. Louis Christian College, no longer in St. Louis, but Independent Christian Church. I got my master's degree from Bethany Theological Seminary, which is Church of the Brethren. I got my doctorate from Northern Baptist, which is American Baptist. And I have served as a pastor in Independent Christian Church and several United Methodist churches. I've spoken in Pentecostal churches, Catholic churches, Church of Christ. I mean, I could go on and on and on with that list. And this is my point. In every place, I learned. In every place, I grew as a Christian because I was challenged by a little different perspective. God and Jesus are way bigger than our differences. In fact, I often wonder what God could do and accomplish if we were to tear down those ideological and theological walls that we've put up and respect and welcome one another in spite of our differences and actually work together in spite of those differences. This is a big issue in our country. And I know political and racial and social economic issues and cultural issues are dividing people. But friends, I want to suggest to you something's broken. Something's broken, you know. When I see hashtag Black Lives Matter, and I know it's a powder keg. Issues are complex. Doesn't matter what we're lifting up as a movement or a hashtag. But hear this. It is heartbreaking that a hashtag ever had to be created or a movement ever had to be put into motion to affirm that truth. And I have said many times, Black lives matter. Hispanic lives matter. Asian lives matter. Middle Eastern lives matter. Should I just keep rolling here? White lives matter. All lives matter, period. There is no but. You do not have to agree with everything that swirls around, every hashtag, every movement, you don't. But fundamentally, we have to understand that when someone is hurting, struggling, questioning their value, we should do everything in our power to be welcoming and accepting of them. Each and every person that crosses your path, reaching out, listening, and loving. Again, you don't have to agree with everything they believe, but we have to love. You know, we are called by God to communicate with every single person that passes and is in your sphere, so to speak, to acknowledge them and accept them. And it starts out with a simple thing. Hello. How are you today? Hey, you're doing a great job. Those kind of things. It's a simple thing we can do that it screams, you matter. You are of value. You are welcome. I notice you. The world may be crazy. The world may be divided. The world may be full of hate, pushing people away, disrespecting each other. I don't know about you, but me, not in my world, not in my life. That will not happen. If there is someone that God wants you to welcome and they cross your path, you're called by God to welcome them. You know, those that are disenfranchised, displaced, that are culturally different than you, racially different, religiously different. People who are struggling and hurting. People who think a little different than you. In fact, you may be sitting next to one right now. God's plan was that the church would be a welcoming community. The church would keep people from living alone, living in isolation, which is a big problem in society today. I mean, maybe God wanted us to be welcoming because guess what? When you're welcoming of people, it actually helps you be more loving of people. You know, it's not easy to have that kind of attitude all the time. And in fact, welcoming and accepting requires character, and it requires us to grow. I think I've used this before, but imagine that around you is a welcome mat, all right? So you got this big mat around you, and for some, it says welcome. For others, we flip it, and it says, unwelcome. And that mat that exists around you tells everyone whether you want to engage with them or not. Maybe you got the welcome mat out, and it's out there most of the time. But then you see the wrong person. Oh, no, not you again. It looks like a welcome mat, but for them, you kind of pull it out from under them, so to speak. You know, people can tell by your vibe. Do you know you got a vibe? It's that look on your face. You know, somebody walking toward you. It's the body language. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Are you welcoming them? Are you doing things to pull them toward you? I read a study from Barna Group not long ago, and it said the vast majority of Americans think it would be very difficult to have a conversation with someone different than them. And then they identified various groups in the study. These are just a few of them. They said a lot of people thought it'd be really difficult to have a conversation with someone that was Muslim or Hispanic. 88% said they just couldn't do that. You know, if the person was an atheist, that 56% said they couldn't have a conversation with them. If they were an evangelical, 55%, it would be very difficult to have a conversation. I want you to think about that for a moment. I mean, let that sink in. They did not ask them, hey, could you debate an issue with them? They didn't say, now, I want you to be best friends. I want you to go on vacation together with them. No, they just said, could you have a basic, simple conversation with someone different than you? Is it no wonder that we are so polarized that we can't have a conversation with someone different than us? Friends, when you welcome other people, it changes you. You actually become more loving and more accepting. It increases your empathy, your emotional intelligence. And what happens is you grow little by little. You actually start seeing people through the eyes of God. You start seeing what life is like for someone else. So you can be more loving. You can be more accepting. You know, consider this. This is just, I'm an observer, and I think this is a common experience. You're sitting somewhere waiting. There's a seat next to you. What's your norm when you have that situation? Put something in the seat? Why do you do that? Well, because you don't want anybody to sit next to you, you know. Or you're saving a seat for someone. I get that. But most of the time, that's what we're doing. You're in the doctor's office. Don't want you sitting next to me, you know. You're waiting somewhere. Get your tires rotated. Don't want anybody sitting next to me. You know, you're in line waiting for your order. You got your head buried. What's that say? It says, don't bother me. It is a very clear signal. Do not engage. Leave me alone. I don't have time for you. Several years ago, I realized that I'd be going through a store and I'd be passing people in the aisle and people be shopping, some are working, people are glued to their phones, got their head down. But the thing that I noticed most was no eye contact. And so I started playing a game. I wanted to see how many people I could actually get to say something or make eye contact or at least get a smile out of. I see someone in the store and they're picking out a product off the shelf and I would go, hey, is that really good? See someone that's searching the aisle. You've seen this. They're looking and looking and I'm gonna be like, hey, can I help you find something? You know, someone mopping the floor or stocking and I'm like, how's your day going? You know, see someone in a cowboy shirt, and I'd go, go Steelers, you know. I get some really weird looks at that time. Sometimes throughout the whole store, then it's a go Cowboys, go Steelers, you know. But it started as a game. But then I realized that I was connecting with people. And what I also saw when I looked at people was a lot of people that were really lonely, hurt, depressed, and isolated. And just those little efforts didn't cost me anything. They were welcome mats. Okay, sure, some people just cruise on by. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna ignore you anyway. You're crazy, you know. Some people, I caught them off guard. But many, what I found was they wanted to engage. And so they just very quickly start talking and, you know, connection. And what I've seen through the years is people's spirits actually lifted up. Just a simple word. The fact that they were noticed. And now I just kind of do it. It's like second nature to me. Now, I'll forewarn you, it means it takes you longer to get through the store. You know, but that's okay. If one person, I could lift their spirits doing something as simple as that, I'd do it. And besides, I usually get lifted up in the process. You know, I want you to imagine what would happen if all of us were to put out a welcome mat everywhere we go. At work, school, the gym, the club, the store, the restaurant. Everyone that crosses your path, you decide, I'm going to be welcoming, accepting. Draw them in a little bit. I think this world would be a better place if we did that. You know, the Apostle John, he was in exile at the time, and he writes about a revelation that he had, a vision of what heaven would be like. And he says, after this I looked, and there was before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Every nation, every tribe, people, language, that's heaven. Friends, that's God's design and dream for the church. We live in a culture that is, the vast majority of people do not go to church. Do you know that? And they say, the reason they don't go, and I realize some of this is excuses, but they will say pretty rapidly, well, I don't go because the church isn't very welcoming or it's insensitive. And I think about it, Jesus had a passion for people. Jesus' compassion and love and acceptance, it changed my life, radically changed my life. And I am still convinced that Jesus is the only hope for this world. You know, the local church, we have been entrusted with the life-giving message of Jesus. That message of Jesus, you've been entrusted with. The church is a light pointing the way. You know, the church can show the world what love looks like, what it acts like, as we're welcoming one another, as we're loving one another, as we're showing grace to one another. What happens is it draws people in, and it actually brings about change in the long haul. The church was founded, this church, on a very simple conviction. All people matter to God. Not some, all people matter to God. This church is committed to throwing the doors wide open. The mat always says, welcome. The church will meet people where they are. Where they are. And love them, and encourage them, and help them, and point them to Jesus Christ. It's what we're called by God to do. And so we do it faithfully, completely, whatever it takes. You know, welcoming and respecting everyone who's curious, wants to learn a little bit more about Jesus. Why is welcoming so important to God? Why is that? Well, it might be because Jesus knew what it was like to not be welcome into the world with those open arms. I mean, he was greeted over and over through his ministry with closed doors from the very beginning. no room for you here. You know. He knows what it's like to stand at the door and knock and not have the door open. You know, John writes this. He says, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. This is God talking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Jesus standing at the door, he's knocking. And I wonder, is there some area in your life where Jesus is knocking? He's patiently waiting. In fact, I wonder when or if you'll welcome him in. You know, maybe it's a personal area, relational thing, family issue, financial struggle. Maybe it's a sin that's just got its hooks in you. For some of you, maybe you've never opened the door to God at all, you know. Friends, if God is knocking, this is my best advice. I encourage you. In fact, I beg you to just open the door. Because when you open the door to him, in whatever area, guess what? He receives you with open arms. And when you open that door, you experience a kind of love and grace that will really push you so that you become more welcoming. Because you go, wow, God welcomed me even after all this junk in my life? Welcoming, it has the power to multiply. You know, just about any time I talk about acceptance, I think about Janice Pullen. Some of you probably remember Janice. She would come catch me, and man, she was a welcoming person, accepting person. And she was always reaching out. She was pulling people in. It was something to watch her through the years. And it did not matter who they were. Didn't matter what they looked like or what they had done, she always made people feel welcome, important, and valued. And I asked her one day after several years of just watching, I said, Janice, why are you so welcoming? And she told me, she said, well, when she was young, she had the opposite experience. And she said she never forgot what it was like to be excluded and unwelcomed. And it changed her. Friends, I never saw her flinch once. She was just one of those kind of people. Just pull you in. Push past the barrier and just draw people in. You know, she greeted out here for many, many years. And I saw it over and over and over. Radar was up. All the time, taking people under her wing. And I learned at her memorial service, because I thought, well, that's what she does here, you know. And they said, oh, no, she liked that in the community, when she worked at the hospital, at the store, wherever she was, that's what she did. And I was thinking that I imagine when she arrived in heaven, and I shared this at her funeral, but I imagine there was a welcoming party there for her of people who she had welcomed somewhere during life. And I know God welcomed her. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. And because I knew Janice pretty well, I imagine St. Pete, she's like, get out of here. I'll do the welcoming around here for a while, you know. And so, here's a simple challenge. I want you to think of one thing you could start doing One thing that would take you a step toward welcoming someone or accepting someone. Who could you pull in to you? And just pray and ask God to prompt you, you know, to maybe point someone out. Because here's what I know, God will nudge you. And when God does, just do it. Just do it. We're called by God to be welcoming and accepting. And yes, we may make mistakes. You will from time to time. But let's do everything we possibly can to get that right. They may go, man, Damon's a klutz. He's always putting his foot in his mouth. But he was always loving and accepting. I'd be okay with that. No, I really would. Because that's how you change lives, is showing acceptance and love and grace. So let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And God, I pray that you would just inspire us. Give us the courage to push through those barriers. Let people know they matter. That we put value on everyone that's in our sphere. Help us to say the right things and do the right things. May your Holy Spirit guide us in that. And God, I pray that this church would be a beacon throughout our community of what love looks like. God, help us to be who you called us to be, created us to be. May we give you glory with all we say and do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, let's stand. We're going to sing. Prayer teams will be down front after the service. You need prayer this morning. Come down. Let them pray for you. If you're new here, you don't have to tell them anything. Just say, hey, pray for me. And scripture says where two or three gather and pray that God hears us. And so let God get involved in your life in whatever area it is. So let's worship together.